right. It is January 22nd, 2018, 6 o'clock p.m. Call to order the Duxbury Select Board meeting. And we'll start with introduction of the Select Board with...
Lars Dixon.
Tamitha Thomas-Hossey.
Jerry McMahon.
Aaron Lander.
Stacy Gibson-Granfield. Next item on the agenda is additions, changes to the agenda. I do have one change. After approval of minutes, the board needs to go into executive session to discuss legal advice received related to Webster Road's petition. And then Webster Road will move up right after that. So we'll go into executive session. I'll update the board on the legal advice received from the town attorney. We'll come out of executive session, talk through the Webster Road item on the agenda, and then unless others have additional changes, then we'll move forward with the agenda as printed. Any other additions or changes to the agenda?
The town administrator position, I'm still gathering information, but we don't have like a final thing to discuss, so if we want to delete that from this week,
okay,
that's fine.
We can do that. Any other changes?
Are you going to put that mailbox on?
Yes, that should go under new business. There was a email about a mailbox that was damaged. On Dowsville.
No, just because it's you.
Any other changes, additions, subtractions?
There was the part-time temporary position. The budget impact on that?
That's under budget adjustment. Old business, letter A.
It does? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I put it under old business because the budget I figured was kind of old business.
Okay. Well, and
I
so was the.
I just thought because it said old business.
So was the decision about the position. We made that decision at the last meeting. So they really are both old business. But.
That's good.
Yep. Any other additions or changes to the agenda? All right. Citizens and visitors to address the select board. Are there any citizens or visitors who aren't here for an item on the agenda already that want to address the board? Jeff?
What's our new road crew guy making?
Do we have to divulge that in open meeting?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
$20 an hour.
So how come he's making more than the two other guys?
So the... Hang on a second. So when we met as a board to discuss his rate of pay, we discussed where the other two road crew are with their rate of pay. One of them makes $19.89 an hour. The other one makes less than that. And our new part-time guy, who for the record is Eric Ladensack, has more experience than both of them combined. He's worked for this town before. He's operated the equipment. He knows the routes. He's coming in, and he's going to be able to get in a tandem and go. The only thing he's asked for is that Adam take him around Crossett Hill because that's the route he will be doing, and he's not as familiar with it as the route he used to do when he worked here. So we felt that he was within the range of what the other two were making and deserved to get just a slightly higher bump because of his experience. And the fact that he's doing part-time, he's not getting any benefits, no sick leave, no vacation time, no health insurance, no dental, nothing. He's just coming in to help us out while Adam's unable to operate a tandem. So that's why the board made the decision they did.
Yep.
Okay. Ian?
I just, in terms of the benefits part of that, we don't offer employees any extra money for not taking the benefits.
Correct.
So that doesn't seem like a part of the calculation.
I think primarily it was his experience. From my perspective, it was primarily his experience.
So he has more experience with the town than...
Yes, he does.
And the equipment.
Any other questions? We will get to the budget issue when we get to that point in the agenda. Okay. Jeff, you satisfied with the answer? Probably not, but you good? Can we move forward?
You answered what I asked.
Okay. All right. Any other citizens and visitors who wish to address the select board? Okay. Approval of minutes. So we have just the January 8th, 2018 minutes to review and approve.
And the 16th, the special meeting.
Oh, I didn't put that one off. That's right. What did we talk about on the 16th? Just remind me.
Eric.
That was the hiring.
Oh, okay.
Eric.
Yeah. I'd forgotten we had a meeting. Remember the conversation. I did have one minor change on the minutes from last week, and it was a spelling error, so I'm just looking for that. And page 2, Tamitha at the top, where it says a resident of Ryan Road, it's Keith Puffer, P-U-F-F-E-R, not Buffer.
Okay.
Okay. Other than that, I thought the minutes, I didn't have any other changes. Anybody else have any changes? Mm-hmm. Is there a motion related to the minutes?
I move that we accept the minutes as submitted with changes.
Second? Is there a second? All those in favor of approving the minutes of January 8th, 2018, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
And the minutes of...
Well, we haven't talked about those yet.
Oh, so I thought they were lumped together.
No, I was just doing the... Okay. January 8th is the one I asked for. So are there any... changes or comments on the January 16th minutes?
I have none.
Is there a motion to approve?
I wasn't present, so I don't think I can do that.
I move to approve the minutes as submitted.
Okay. Is there a second?
A second.
All those in favor of approving the minutes of January 16th as submitted, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. Approval of minutes is complete. All right, so at this point, based on the changes we made to the agenda, we need to move into executive session to discuss legal advice obtained from the town attorney in relation to the Webster Road petition. So what that means is for people who are here in attendance, we need to ask you to step out. Maureen, is it possible?
I'll go on off the garage.
In the garage? Okay. Hey, just so they don't have to stand out in the sleet and freezing rain.
You don't
have
a tour. Really
no, and it'll be brief. It shouldn't be too long. I'll have Lars come grab you when we're done.
So I'd like to make a motion to move into executive session at 6:07 to talk about information obtained from the town attorney related to Webster Road.
Is there a second?
Second. Okay.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Trying to keep my blood pressure down. Okay. Webster Road.
Wait.
Okay.
So it's on. Yeah.
Okay.
It's
so
on. Yeah. We're just waiting for Lars.
Yeah, we're waiting for the group to come back in, and then we'll go from there.
Be sure everyone can get in.
They're probably having too much fun next door. They don't want to.
Yes, they're
doing a little site visit of the town garage.
Did you see the cool tool wall?
I thought they checking to see how they can repair the roof.
Yeah, cool what?
Tool wall. The wall of tools.
Is it new?
No.
Oh, I've been around. And I've seen a few walls.
All right, so the select board exited executive session at 6:15 p.m. Do we have a motion regarding the board's discussion?
I move that we reject the petitioner's petition based on the fact that the road was discontinued in 2001 and is no longer considered even a Class 4 road. There you go.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. Is there discussion related to Webster Road?
Yes.
What does that mean it was discontinued?
So back in 2001, there was a judicial process involving the Superior Court, the town of Duxbury, and the residents of the road at the time that discontinued the road, which meant that the road no longer exists legally. From a legal standpoint, the road doesn't exist. What that means is that it's not even considered a Class 4. So the petition to reclassify from a Class 4 to a Class 3 is null and void in the eyes of the law of the state of Vermont.
This is kind of a...
That's okay.
No.
You can speak.
Is that an unusual thing? I mean, Are there other roads in the town of Duxbury which are not roads?
Yeah, so the way a road is defined by state law is there's different classifications. So there's like class 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then in the class 4, there's a class 4A and a class 4B classification. And it kind of determines, and then a trail, correct. When a road is discontinued or doesn't even exist, hasn't been classified at all, what that means is that the town isn't even paying the state taxes for that road. So in other words, the town, for every road that the town of Duxbury maintains, we pay money to the state. And the state bases our grant awards based on the number of roads that we are maintaining. So because Webster Road isn't on the rolls, so to speak, from the state's perspective, they're not even factoring it in as part of the formula for when they award us grants, and there's no expectation on the town to maintain that road because of it.
I just want to clarify, the state pays us. We don't pay the state.
Correct. So there's a whole legal basis and formula around it. There is an option for residents, which is that you can repetition the board to have the road created.
Classified.
And classified. There's a process that would have to be followed, so there would have to be a public hearing, there would have to be a site visit. That kind of work would then, if the board approved it, it would have to be scheduled. It's not a quick thing, so it's not like in a matter of weeks the road crew would be up there grading and stuff. They would have to meet the state standards for it to be a legitimate legal road. And all of that would be brought out as part of discovery in the judicial process if the residents choose to file a new petition asking that the road be created.
Mm-hmm. So we had, as residents of Webster Road, had thought we were, thought we were class 4, as did the town, I'm assuming?
Correct. I'm sure this board, anyway, we weren't clear on what the status of Webster Road was. So it took some time for us to get... Part of our process when we're looking at reclassification is we have to look at when the road was classified, you know, was proper notice given, those types of things. So as we were doing our investigation into the status of the road to determine whether or not it really was a class 4, was it a class 4A or B, was it a trail, what was it? In the process of that discovery is how we found out about this judicial process that it occurred in 2001. So we then approached the town attorney to look at all the legal papers around it and give us an advisory statement on what we as a select board are responsible for doing.
Right. Okay.
Within, you know, to be legal about it.
I don't mean to take up too much time, but why generally does that judicial process get undertaken?
I don't know.
Lawsuit from the Andersons at the time.
There
was a lawsuit at the time, and part of the... So they had downgraded it, and then there was a lawsuit, and then ultimately they ended up discontinuing it, and the resident at the time dropped their suit when it was discontinued because it reverted back to them. Then the attorney was going to take
16 years ago. It was way before.
And investigate some more.
Yeah, I still hear rumors about it, even though I haven't been here.
So. Yeah.
Okay, and then in order to find out how to... start this whole process over again, we would come in and talk to someone.
Well, Title 19 spells out the process in the Vermont statutes about reclassifying or creating or reclassifying a road.
Right,
It's
a new thing.
It would be like if you were a new development, exactly, and you wanted a town road created, it would be under that kind of language.
Okay, and is there anyone we could talk to that understands that process well? That
Maybe Will on the DRB? No?
No, I mean, you basically have to get the Orange Book out and look at a Class 3 road, and you can make a lovely, expensive road, but it's up to the town to decide whether they want to accept it and take it on.
So the Orange Book is a book that we have a copy of in the town
office.
You
should be able to find it.
It's also available online.
Vermont Agency of Transportation, Vermont AOT.
Mm-hmm.
And it is called the Orange Book.
Yeah.
I always have to say that because it's always surprising to
me. You might actually even be able to get some advice from the state itself. So if you called the Agency of Transportation and asked to speak with someone, I don't know what division they talked to, Jim.
Local roads, maybe.
Local roads.
It just occurred to me another thing you might be able to do is, I'm thinking probably in places that are growing like fast like Chittenden County, they may already have experience with this where they've discontinued roads and there's been new development and they've recreated the roads.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just guessing there, but I think something like that may have happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. It sounds like it's more complicated even than having sort of starting with a clean slate, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I think it might be actually in your best interest to start with a clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
Because what will happen through this process is... and certainly there'll be a new select board by the time anything's really able to happen because it's winter and it requires a site visit, but you will get a good opinion. You might even be able to get, you know, like Adam, and I don't know if an engineer will be necessary or not, to come in and as part of that site visit determine, you know, what needs to happen to make that road meet state standards. And when it meets state standards, it's going to be a road like what you see if you've ever been on like Crossett Hill or Camel's Hump. It'll be a certain width. It'll have ditching. It'll have all of that infrastructure in place.
Mm-hmm.
You might actually get a better road out of that process than you would if you were just reclassifying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we still have to bring any road that we reclassify up to standards, but building a new road versus just fixing something that's already there, I think.
That's on them.
Right.
Understood.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you know, the the difficulty might be worth it in the long run because of what you might get.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whereas if it's already a class 4 and you're reclassifying it, you have to stay within the path of the road. New road may not have to be the way you see it today.
Right. Okay.
So it might give you more options. It's just, and that's just my personal thoughts. I don't really have a lot of experience with creating roads, but
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
But yeah, contact
absolutely.
Us and we can try to walk, you know, your resource and whatever we can do to help you through that process.
Yeah, for sure. So start with transportation. You can get the Orange Book online if you just search on, go to the Vermont State website.
Okay.
And then you can read up on it. And certainly they have resources at Local Roads, which is a division type group that's affiliated with state transportation.
Okay.
No, they'll be able to guide you.
Okay.
So the exact location of the relevant information is Title 19, Chapter 7, Subchapter 2.
Chapter 7. Thank you. Saves me from reading the whole thing.
Right.
It really is a slow start to the plot. It's better to move right to the action.
If you ever have insomnia, you might want to read the whole thing, but... All right, so
I call the question.
Call the question. So, all those in favor of rejecting the petition to reclassify Webster Road from a Class 4 to a Class 3 due to its current status as a discontinued road and legally not a road at all maintained by the town of Duxbury, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Thank you for your time and for coming in. Sorry we didn't have a better result for
you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, next item on the agenda, Adam.
Did everybody get a copy of this from Boyle and Tanner?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of looked at it closely, but...
Okay. So, I'll start with what little movement we've had on some of the grants. This is the Dowsville final design and final cost estimate for repair or replacement of that structure. $479,344.50.
Okay.
The state has also been emailed this
they
as
have.
Well.
Okay. Yep.
For the grant.
Didn't I read in the email that he may be doing some tinkering with this?
Yeah, there's still some tinkering, but this is what he...
This is his first draft, his major draft.
Major draft, but this is from what the phone conversation I had, is he feels pretty confident with this number.
With the number.
He doesn't think it's, you know...
It'll change.
It'll change too much. All right. that's. I don't know if you want to put that in the minutes, if you want this for the minutes or not.
But. She's got that because he emailed that to the whole board, yeah. I think. Right? Did you get, you guys all get some from Wellington?
Yep.
So I think she's got it, Adam.
Okay. Turner Hill, AOT for the 8x7 box culvert going in by the Griffiths House. I met with Dick Hoskins. He is going to write a scope of work and have me review it. Then we will be going out to bid on that job. Better back roads for Turner Hill, which is connected to this pipe. There's no movement. There's really not anything going to be happening with that until we start working on it in the summer. Marshall Road, I'm still awaiting the payment from them. I guess they're having, from the email that Lars sent to me, the process is taking longer than they originally thought.
I'm going to see Daniel on Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Other stuff, too.
FEMA, the state has said they're going to cover 12.5% of damage, and FEMA is going to cover 75% of damage. Duxbury will need to cover 12.5%.
Wow, that's good.
That's cross.
This is FEMA. No, this is the disaster as a whole.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Thursday and Friday, potentially, the barricades will be set on Cross a Hill. I'm still working with Ireland, but those look like two good days where we can get it done. And if there's any changes, I'll email the board to let you know. Road work performed, sanding and plowing, consulting. Randy and Kyle cut some trees on Camel Sump Road and Cross a Hill. They were hitting the sides of the truck and or laying on the ground. Also, with last Friday, or two Fridays ago, we got to use our culvert thaw machine that the town bought, and they did quite a few culverts in a little amount of time, so it worked very well.
Good.
Equipment report. The grader has been repaired and returned to the shop. Now awaiting for the metal shop to come mount the brackets for the roller. I called them today and left a message on their machine. Foreman's work. Completed the tool inventory. Meeting on grants with Dick Hoskins. And I've been doing some refiling in my office, so taking paperwork out and reorganizing a lot like the town office has, and breaking things down by road, things that we've done, pictures we have for certain sections of road, stuff like that, grants that we have going, stuff like that. I'm not quite done, but I'm getting there. Also still trying to work on the calendar for our summer project list, and had a meeting on River Road on the wing walls with Grenier. This is down by the old Davis farm.
Mm-hmm.
Grenier is going to do some exploratory digs in the spring, and from what I'm understanding is they're going to try, if they can, pull those wing walls back and put anchors, I believe he said, into the back of the wall.
We had two representatives from the manufacturer come down from Pennsylvania to New York, and they jumped right in. They were up to their knees in that spot, and they looked it over quite well. So
good.
We'll get plans progress back for that.
Yeah, that's great.
The shop, the roof has stopped leaking because the snow came off the back.
Mm-hmm.
Rod Roofing said they could come in the spring to look at it and repair it. I've also got a phone call to somebody Jeff told me about and left a message to them to see if maybe they could come look at it, sooner.
Do we need to put that up for bids?
I'm just trying to figure out.
Like
I think we're trying to get a sense of the estimate, right? First, and like what the problem, we don't even know what,
We know what it is. It's done it 3-4 years ago, it did it.
Yeah.
The building moves, and when it moves, it pops the roof screws up. And they pop out. So, unfortunately, that's the nature of the beast of this place, of this building. And then just to report on myself, I was cleared to drive the pickup, as anybody or the last minute snows, to check roads and plow with it. Still doing PT 3 to 2 times a week, and have a doctor's appointment with my doctor every 4 weeks. So,
I have a question about your condition, if that's okay, are your restrictions. Are you cleared to ride along in the larger equipment, or are you
I can't operate it.
But you can be in it, like ride along training people?
I can't operate it.
Can you try to ask a doc the next time you see the doctor for clarification about whether or not you can ride along in it if you're not operating it? Yeah,
I think I can. I just can't drive it because of my ankle.
I would like that clear, because I don't want, if the height of it, you getting up and down, is going to be dangerous for you, then that doesn't make sense. But if it's if it makes sense for you to be able to ride along and do some more training to make sure that everybody's doing everything to with the best of their abilities, then that may be worthwhile.
I can ask.
Yeah, did he give you a guesstimate of how soon you'll be able to get back to it?
It's week by week. Yeah. He said probably 8, but it could be 4, it could be 5, it could be 12.
Yeah.
He doesn't really know. It's all based on week to week. Mm-hmm. So...
Sounds like you're getting a lot of other good stuff done and organized.
Yeah.
I'm uncovering a lot of things that I didn't know were there. There are some old documents in there.
Tamitha, did you have a question?
Yeah, I just wondered, Adam, if there's any time this week that you might have to meet with me for maybe it would take like an hour or so that we could get started on that graphic or trying to produce for town meeting and get started on what?
Any day but Thursday or Friday, potentially.
Okay.
So I could do Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Yeah.
Could we meet, what time is best for you on Wednesday? I've got meetings until 10:30 after that.
You do after
nothing
lunch.
Nothing till the
want.
PTO. after lunch?
Yeah, 12:30 or 1
o'clock. Okay, all right, let's do that. Thank you.
Yeah. Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
Yeah. Any other questions for Adam?
None.
Thanks, Adam.
Yep.
Thank you.
Treasurer. Does it make sense to do budget adjustment at the end of your review or keep it where it is?
It does not matter to me. I'm fine with staying. And this second meeting, I'm impressed with your commitment. I'm not sure if you wanted me to bring. I did not bring new monthly financials.
No, that's okay.
I have Dan's contract, Dan's suite. I was getting ready for the workman's comp audit and realized that we hadn't updated it in January, so that is here and needs a signature. And let's see. I had given some thoughts on the reserve fund balance policy. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that or wait until later meetings after to see what happens at town meeting. Well, if you wanted to know going in what the policy might be,
we did have that on the agenda for reserve fund policy discussion and decision.
We did.
So we could, it makes sense likely to move it up
sure,
in case Dan has something else to do on a Monday
later.
Night.
And it sounds like everybody's been doing some. Do you want me to say the other thing that I had or just do the reserve fund? So everyone's been doing a little bit of cleaning out and looking at old documents.
Yeah.
And so when we were looking at, I was looking at some of the old town reports and looking to see if there was the article about payments arriving by post date. I saw a lot of articles and I'm just wondering if it might be helpful for the progress and the way the moderator might work to have an article about the town administrator, because then that would flow into the budget because it can affect other lines. And it's just a suggestion because there was a lot of times when there was something to do with personnel, it was drawn out as an article.
I thought we talked about that. We had the option of either having the town vote on it as an article or putting it in the budget. We decided to put it in the budget and not make it a separate article.
We talked about it at the budget committee, but...
Yes, it was discussed in the budget committee, if that's when you mean, and I think it was more like, do we have to have an article or is it okay to just have it in the budget? And I think I was the one who said it's part of the budget, it's there, so they're approving it. And so if you don't want to, I don't have that much experience. So if you were based on my advice at that time, it does seem that a lot of times those type of things were put into the articles.
I think that if we're handing out a description of this job at the time, on the chairs or however that's put, then if there's a sense in there that anywhere along the line, when we come to that line, someone's going to say eliminate it.
When we come to the total budget line.
Yeah, when we go down the line. Because we have been going line by line lately, tedious as that may be, although it's not required, but someone will say, let's not do this, or let's add another 30,000, see who we can get. But they can make the choice then, I think. Okay. I think that's reasonable.
Sounds good to me.
And then, Anne, you're prepared in those moments to, like, you're, like, keeping track of all of this. So, yeah, so maybe it might be helpful just to do that in advance, just in case.
I have, yes.
With and without a time. Yeah, yeah.
I think there are a lot of...
Before and after.
Yeah. There are a lot of those decisions.
Okay, yeah, those are the only things I had on my list for discussion.
Did we make a decision on the article around having the not accepting postmarks? I can't remember what I sent to Maureen.
We established that we didn't have to do that.
We just signed what the articles were, didn't we?
We do need to. It has never been done that we could find anywhere.
There could be an amendment to the articles, because the deadline is always an article. We could amend it to add the postmark.
Right.
If someone wanted to raise that in the meeting.
What does it say now?
It just has the due date. I think
it might make more sense if we still have time to amend it to make the amendment now. That's our intention.
I would prefer that, so it didn't look like it was a unplanned or
reprint it.
We're all going to have to come in and re-sign that. That's all. So just as soon as Maureen sends out the email that they're ready to be signed again, I would just expect people to make an effort to get here and sign it so she can get that done, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you want to
come.
Well, we are having another executive session later if you want to do it while we're doing that.
Doing death certificates for an hour and a half.
We've only talked about these things like 100 times.
So I've got to crank it out this week to the printer.
I thought we...
Yeah, we knocked around on language, trying to sort through it, and just sitting here, it was, as the language is now, it's the end of business day, I think, is how the language is.
Right. But
that's the
postmarks.
Due date. Yeah, not to include postmarks is the important issue. Part.
Yeah.
No, it's not on there, because what on the 8th, what we decided was that this would be researched, because this was the issue where some people were saying, like, oh, no, an article exists. We don't want to do another article if we've already got the other article. Okay. So that's where we left.
Both Anne and I have been to the Down the Trail of Tears and haven't found any reference to
Lars personal. Emailed, I think, a couple of days later saying that he didn't find any.
So we do. So
we need
the article related to not accepting postmarks for tax payments is contingent on determining whether or not it has already been voted on, and if so, it will be removed. If not, it will appear. So we have it written right here. Shall the voters approve a policy?
Don't write it on that.
Shall the voters approve a policy requiring...
No, because I want to save Maureen a headache. Sorry.
Just update that.
Go ahead.
Shall the voters approve a policy requiring tax payments be received by the end of business on the due date of not accepting postmarks? So that is the article, since the research was that this is not.
Okay.
Or it could be postmark dates do not qualify.
That article that she read...
I don't believe you need to have it as a separate article. Anyway. I think you need to adjust the one that says the due date.
But it's not in here.
The article with the due date. Their taxes are due on
I thought we just looked at that.
There is one about the taxes due and then the next page.
It's usually at
and
the
then
end.
Send it to the tax and collector. The,
yeah.
So Lars has a good way to word it to add it to that.
So just
adjust that one.
And we can add, we can word it however we come out here, and that can be amended later somehow. It doesn't.
No, it's fine. I was just trying to. If it wasn't on that list, which is what I misunderstood, Erin. Yeah. I thought she said it's not in here. So
well,
I was thinking we didn't have to write on that because we were two of us had already signed on the articles to approve them.
Except the duty. Yeah.
So I was thinking we could do a separate one for Maureen to just leave for us to sign off on. But if it's in there, then we need to edit it. That was like, I was just trying to save a little confusion.
It actually, I missed it because it is on Article 8 where it says, shall we set the due date for the issuance of the tax warrant? Da, 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 da. So it's in there. And then you said postmarks will not be accepted.
Postmarks do not qualify as timely. That makes.
We'd just be adding that to the end of the sentence.
Yeah.
Right. What
no, it has to be a little clearer than that.
Yes.
No, it doesn't, because it has to be. It has to be in the office.
Yeah, received by.
Due date is when
they're received in the office. Postmarks do not qualify as timely.
That's why it's the due date.
Received by date, irregardless of postmark.
Yeah.
Okay, so what it says right now is, shall the voters of the town of Duxbury set the due date for the issuance of the tax warrant of real and personal property and the date taxes on such property shall become due and payable without discount as October 12, 2018, second Friday in October, and also assess an 8% penalty as prescribed by state statute and a 1% interest charge per month on such taxes not paid when due. So do we want to say... and the date taxes on such property shall become due and payable without discount as October 12, 2018, second Friday in October, comma, postmarks will not be accepted. Postmarks are not acceptable.
Do not qualify as timely.
Yeah. I would make that just a separate sentence.
A separate
at the
sentence
end.
At the end. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't try to blend it in there because it's such a run-on sentence already.
Right.
And it'll just confuse people.
Okay.
So,
but it's interesting using punctuation a lot.
Huh?
It's a challenge using punctuation.
So postmarks do not qualify as timely?
Yes.
Is that enough?
Well,
no, it has to be received in the office at the due date.
Yeah.
Has to be in the office at the
timeliness
due date.
Is not defined by the date
postmarked
or something.
Yeah.
Postmark mail received after that date.
Maybe it should say taxes on such property shall become due and received in the office without discount rather than payable without discount.
Yes.
No?
I wouldn't change that.
Payable would be a wire transfer or... You know.
No, I think just add a sentence at the end that says postmarks do not qualify for being received on time.
As a receipt date.
Yeah. Postmarks will not qualify as a receipt date.
Correct.
And then any clarification or reword can come from the floor.
Postmarks will not qualify as a received date.
Will not qualify as date of receipt.
Will not qualify as...
Well,
postmarks do qualify as date of receipt.
Not in this article.
Oh, no, no, that's what we're saying.
That's the whole
postmarks
point.
Will not qualify as date of receipt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Must physically be in the office that day.
So, Maureen, I just added this to what I sent you. So,
because there were other typos in there that I already fixed. So, just why don't you handwrite
it? You can just,
she did.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you can just change this page.
What typo?
And the signature page is still good to go.
Oh. Okay.
Just accept failure. And move on.
Luckily,
everybody spelled their own name.
So we took care of that one.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I didn't look at the name.
It was painful.
My only
But thank you for earlier
my
than
what?
Normal because my brain just shuts down after a certain point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you and Lars both for doing the research on that.
So there was the next one, the reserve
March
fund
6th.
Policy that we wanted to talk about.
Yes.
What?
Then my.
I have March 6,
2018. The one that I got.
Right there, 2000. Sorry.
Well, these things happen.
Okay.
We're good.
Okay, so wait, hold on. What do you need me to do? I'm trying to do like.
I guess
this is why we need somebody else to edit that on there.
Yeah.
So do I need
sign
to.
Sign page 2 and we'll be good to go.
Please.
Okay. Hold on.
You can wait and do that at the end of the meeting, Timothy. Yeah, you don't have to deal with it right now.
No. I know. I'm just
trying to get too many conversations going on at once, so we need to all kind of rein it in a little bit.
Well,
because we're confusing our minute taker.
Yeah. Which clearly is not difficult to do. Okay. Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready, yep.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. So, reserve fund policy. Discussion and decision. Do you want to present this to us, Anne?
Well, I had gotten from you, I believe, the draft that you had online, and I sent back a couple of my thoughts on how, just from my perspective, making it more usable. And I don't know if everyone... I think I copied everyone, but I don't know if you got to review it, or if I should go through them specifically, or...
I guess, so, seeing what Anne put down for changes, I don't have any feelings one way or the other, so I would open it up to the board on if there were any additional questions, comments. Do you want Anne to go through what her changes are for the record?
Go to.
Okay.
How do I best do that? By, okay, so under objective, the second sentence said, the select board's objective is for adequate funds to be set aside in this reserve fund in a planned and consistent manner, and that those monies not be spent for regular town expenditures or used to reduce property taxes. And I removed that last part because I think you want to leave that as an option, is it being used to... Mm-hmm. and then the third section, reserve fund expenditures...
I didn't see any changes on that one.
At the very end, although I just wanted to point out that when it says an expenditure of the reserve fund for any other purpose shall require the authorization of a majority of voters, that's when it could be used to reduce taxes, because you would put it into the budget as a revenue, so you're, it allows you to do that if you don't remove the ability up above. The last section, reserve fund appropriations, had read, annually the select board will propose funding of the contingency reserve fund through the town budget to maintain the balance at the maximum amount authorized by the voters. That to me would mean that once you set that amount of 50% of the highway, you're going to have to always raise money to keep it at that amount, which would be rather expensive to do. And that 50% is a hard target to actually zero in on what that is. Would you include grants? You know, that would be difficult. If an expenditure reduces the contingency reserve fund balance below 75% of the maximum amount authorized by the voters, the select board will, as part of its approval, adopt a plan to restore the funds to the prescribed level. It wasn't my feeling in our discussions that was the spirit of why you wanted this. So what I had said is annually the select board may propose funding based on the external audit findings and the unassigned general fund balance at that time of each year, because that's how we're establishing it now.
Yeah, and I think the reason the policy left all of that in is because we had decided not to worry about it until after the article had passed. So that's why none of that stuff was in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
Or all of that stuff was in the draft and maybe shouldn't have been.
Right, and be able to pare it back, though.
So at this point, do we need to, it doesn't seem like we should approve the policy till the
this was the discussion we had. That was the original intent, but I wonder now, because Anne has spent time going through and reviewing it and revising it based on what the spirit of the policy should be, if it makes sense for us to pass it, vote on it, approve it, contingent on the approval of the article.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if the article gets approved, mm-hmm. this policy goes into effect. If the article doesn't get approved, then the policy is null and void. I think that would be the decision we'd be making.
Yeah.
Rather than punt it down the road, if you will, and wait for the article to pass, and then have the select board, after town meeting, have to establish the policy. This way the policy is in place. The new select board can always decide to amend or change the policies at will anyway, but at least there would be something in place so that if something urgent came up the day after town meeting, which is entirely possible, the winter we've been having, you know, there would be a policy in place for them to work with. So I think that's kind of
where we're at. Mm-hmm.
I would say too that the likelihood that it's going to pass without people knowing what the what this is zero.
So how do we have? So we just need to make sure that we have copies of this available so that each of us can speak to it.
Yep. Right.
Do you want it published in the town report as a policy, like your ordinances? Because they may want to hold you to it.
Would you want to report, put something like that in the town report that's contingent,
like the road things, the dog stuff.
Right, but the
social services.
Right, so my question, though, was do you want to put something in the town report, though, that's contingent on whether or not an article passes?
And it's up to you.
I think that's why you would say proposed policy or whatever.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you want it there to have a discussion about it, or I don't know.
I think it would be better proposed verbally by someone rather than written out.
I think this is it's complicated enough, and we're somewhat familiar with it, that if we just read it at town meetings, people are going to be really confused.
Yeah.
I think if we have it in the book, people will have a chance to look at it ahead of time if they're interested.
Okay.
And they'll come ready to discuss.
So first question, the first question I have is, are we good with the changes that Anne has made?
Yes.
So do we want to vote on that tonight? And then the second question would be, do we want to put it into the town report as proposed policy contingent on the approval of the article? And I think if we're going to put it in the town report as a proposed policy contingent, we need to make sure we reference the article.
I think that's
in that language.
Good point.
So.
Some of those aren't edits, they're notes.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Yeah, I think that the changes that you proposed make a lot of sense and make it definitely much more in the spirit of what we were talking about.
I agree.
So? So this isn't finalized. I mean, this is notes. And
so do we want to wait and finalize it? Can we wait and finalize it at the next meeting?
Not
just. She's got a town report to get done.
Well, let me ask you this. Does anybody know? I know that if you get into an article and do explanations, technically it can be taken as you trying to, like, sell something. You know, this is my idea. You know, shining a light on it. So I don't know if that... I would think it would be more helpful than harmful, but...
Right.
And you can always have it as a handout.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have another week or two to get it solid, but have it as a handout rather than in the book.
Yeah. I remember,
but then nobody's preparing ahead of time.
Could be construed as expressing an opinion.
Yeah,
we're not
supposed
to.
But we do have an opinion.
Yeah. Well,
we don't necessarily. I mean, I guess the thing is, if we're going to establish it, our opinion is this is how we would do it. If it's in there, then we have an opportunity to make adjustments to
However, we may not be the select board overseeing this after March. So, the article is ours. The policy is not. The policy is one that would have to be established and agreed to by the new select board. So, are we putting a policy in place that the new select board may just completely do something different?
And there may be your rub, because a lot of townspeople may want contingencies the way they have on the capital reserve, and it may be one or two sentences.
So, yeah, I'm thinking you
town vote
could have I'm not saying don't bring anything. We could bring a draft proposed policy that would be used as a handout and talking points for us. The article is for establishing the fund. So we establish the fund. We can...
And how we administer it comes later.
Right. How we administer it comes later, and we could have a draft proposed policy. And that could be the draft proposed policy. I'm just not sure that we want to attach it to the article necessarily.
I'm good with that strategy. That one, without making it immutable and printed, but rather presenting it along with it. I like that better.
Tamitha?
Yes, I agree. I think rather than presenting even our, if we're going to go this route, I think even rather than even presenting sort of our notion of what a policy should be, making it clear to residents at town meeting, that if they approve the policy, we do under, or if they approve the amendment, we understand that a policy needs to be in place. We've already had discussions about that, but understand that it, we didn't want to go kick that can too far down without knowing who the board members would be.
The right to approve it first.
This will be an interesting discussion. What do you think, Anne?
I think that the article gives enough of specification of what it's for most people. I think people want to know what they're really voting for, and this is what, you know, letting them know what your real intention is to do. But it, I guess the last comments I'm hearing are you shying away from even saying that. I think that when it comes up, you shouldn't shy away from saying what your intention is.
Oh, no.
Of how
I think
to
that's
use
everybody's,
okay.
That, that's
justification.
That's everybody's,
whether it's
to
verbal
clarify.
or in the town report, I don't have an opinion on that. I just wouldn't shy away from saying what your intention is.
I don't think we'd be able to shy away from it. I think Jerry, we'd be dragged out.
Well, I was just thinking if we do too much editorializing in the town report, there's no mechanism for anybody to really reply to that before town meeting. That kind of gives us it seems to put us at an unfair advantage compared to the town.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite phrased right. That's as close as I can come.
Yeah.
So we should probably just describe it without saying this is good or bad, and then we
also
discuss
it
at the
meeting.
Also,
give the townspeople an opportunity to tell us what they would like to see in the policy before we finalize it. That's what the spirit of it is. Yeah. So we can have a draft ready. We could certainly talk to it. But it's really an opportunity for the townspeople to vote and approve or not approve the article and then tell us what they would like to see in a policy for how we manage it.
I think we will get inquiries when this comes out.
Mm-hmm. I thought you meant that the other way. I thought you meant it should be written so that people have time to prepare and think about what you guys have already discussed and be ready to discuss it. That's what I thought you were going for when you said that.
Because I know that when I get the town report, and like many people do in the town, like they read through it. And those are the people that come like ready line by line with budget item questions. So I think offering, you know, a draft proposal of our intention is not swaying things one way or the other. I mean, obviously, we think we should do it, or else it wouldn't be an article, right? Like, it wouldn't have even come up.
And we've given a lot of thought to how it would be, how the fund would be administered. I mean, it's not...
Right. So even though the next select board may decide to make amendments to it, I think going in, expecting voters to understand it sort of on the fly that day, look at how many meetings and discussions it's taken us to, like, wrap our heads around it. I think that's a lot to ask for people, so I would lean more toward get something ready.
Okay. Do we have a motion? I think we have to make a motion and decide, do we want to put this draft policy into the town report and reference the article or not?
I move that we do put the draft policy in the town report and reference the article.
Is there a second?
And by draft as revised by Anne?
Yes.
Seconded.
Any further discussion on the matter? All right. All those in favor of putting the draft proposed reserve fund policy in the town report and referencing the proposed article, please say aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
Nay. So that's 3-2. Eyes have it. So, Anne, will you make sure that Tamitha has your revisions so that she can type it up and get it to Maureen?
Yeah, I think they're in the email that I sent.
Yeah, in the yellow highlights, mm-hmm. The red line.
I can
do
it a different way if you like.
No. Okay. I'll just accept and I promise to pay attention, Maureen. How do we want to word the title of it? Like
proposed reserve fund policy contingent on approval of article, whatever article number it is.
Or related to article, whatever.
It's contingent on the approval of article number blank, whatever that number is. It's not a policy unless the article passes, so you have to make that clear.
Okay, that's true.
even if it passes, it could remain a draft until the next select board approves anyway, because it's right. still just a draft.
Right. I think that's why we would want to put draft on it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you.
Emergency management. Step on up, Eric. Or you can stay there, whichever you're more comfortable with.
I tried to draw it out.
Wow, that was, I appreciate that.
That's our skiing.
Do the budget adjustment part.
There's a demonstration of the health benefits of skiing right there.
Well, maybe more indication of the health benefits of a career in the Army. But so, local hazard mitigation plan.
Yes, sir.
Currently, we have begun the process for public comment. I have created a draft notice to be put in the paper. Maureen has it, and she can adjust it if it needs to be adjusted. Mm-hmm. So that will go in the paper, let residents know that there's a document that deals with local hazard mitigation that they can review. I've asked for feedback no later than the 6th of March. And there'll be paper copies of it available in a town office, should a resident care to have it. And I asked Lars if you would kindly post the document on our webpage.
Okay. Do you want copies at town meeting, too, for reference? Or?
I think no, because okay. it's 28 pages long.
Okay.
So, and then in reference to the plan, I have sent digital copies to Waterbury, Middlesex, to a variety of folks in the state, foresters, natural resource people, Washington Electric, Green Mountain Power, yada, yada, yada. So they all have the opportunity to read and review and comment, should they care to. And then the last thing in regards to local hazard mitigation plan is that a grant was awarded. Mm-hmm. Central Vermont Regional Planning Commission mm-hmm. Has set aside 30 hours of their time to help us with this project at no cost to us.
Yay.
Which will
That's
be
great.
Useful because after we compile comments, we have to ensure that the federal checklist is checked, and I think Laura would be a great resource to help us do that.
Yeah. So, I like the plan. It looked good.
Well, received some comments already. some of the information's interesting. the Vermont Dam guy provided feedback.
Wow.
So, yeah.
The Vermont Dam guy.
Yeah. So if you care to, you know, have the emergency plan for Waterbury Dam, he'd be happy to provide it.
Interesting.
So, cool. Amongst other
amongst other things.
And then I guess the last thing is our next emergency management meeting will be on Monday the 29th, this coming Monday. A variety of agenda items, but the last thing we'll do as we leave here is conduct a radio check as zone captains head back to their residence. Communications have been good every other check. I don't expect it to be different, particularly because there's no trees. So, or leaves, rather. There are trees.
There are trees, but no leaves.
Yeah. We know what you mean.
So, one of the things we're going to discuss is Vermont Alert. And I'll bring it up to the group because there was a massive renovation of Vermont Alert. So
no updates, yeah.
You have to go back and actually
re-register.
Request to re-register.
Yeah. Otherwise, I had to do that for my state job, so I just did it for both.
Yeah. So
at the same time.
That little tidbit's in the annual report, so the residents can do that if they care to.
Yeah, so. Great. Can you put that in as an action item for us?
And there'll be a retraining. Mm-hmm.
Yes, as soon as the new select board is voted upon and comes to being, I will ask Randy Bronson from the state of Vermont to come and give
his little training again.
Yep.
Okay.
So,
okay. Any questions for Eric?
Thank you very much for everything.
So, Planning Commission, O'Brien, any updates, Aaron?
The zoning hearing is on the 8th of February. I apologize for my misunderstanding of which calendar I was looking at. But
that was funny.
That's all I know. It would be great for the select board to be there because we will have to also have a hearing as well. So whatever information we can gather from that first one, kind of understand the process, I think will help us.
And just for the record, Brian did officially submit his letter of resignation as of, I believe, town meeting. So after town meeting, he will no longer be planning commission chair. So okay. The new select board will have to appoint a new chair for the planning commission.
Mm-hmm. I think there are candidates out there circulating.
We have the zoning hearing select board attendance on the agenda. Are we all planning to attend? I think we just want to. I'll be there.
That's not on my schedule.
February 8th. I don't know why, but
very busy social calendar.
Has, like, multiple activities going on for me.
No judgment, Lars.
It's a Thursday.
Yeah. What time is it at, Erin? I think it might be at
6:30. I don't know. That's just what's on my calendar. I don't. But for some reason, I have zoning hearing at 6:30.
I almost think that I agreed to volunteer at a basketball game.
I'm not hooked up to internet right now. Let me see.
I'll be there for sure.
There's a link on the homepage. Takes you right to the document, which has the date. Sidebar.
Is that your stomach?
That was my stomach. Yes, 6:30. Public hearing on zoning regulations, February 8th at 6:30.
She beat me to
it. I may not be able to make it because I think I committed myself to selling concessions at the girls' basketball game. But I'll let you know for sure.
You probably make some money selling concessions at the.
Yes, I'm saying.
Yeah. I'll confirm. Offline. Okay. I have to check my calendar.
Okay, but there will be some of us there, so that's good. Okay.
And Brian has requested the recorder as well.
Yes, that's why one of the reasons I'll be there. Okay. To get that to you.
Right. Is that it for planning?
Mm-hmm.
Town Forest Committee, their meeting was
canceled.
Postponed
their meeting, I think, until the 1st of February, but I don't know if they've confirmed all of that yet. Okay. So
they could come to our next
meeting. They need to let Maureen know and make sure the room's available.
Okay. Future of the Gravel Pit Committee.
Sorry.
I think it'd be helpful to put a preamble or something about the town forest, a little history in there, and I can put it on the website.
In the town report, you mean?
No, in the...
The website.
For the website.
The website. And I think I sent you, I don't know whether I'm sending things or drafting them and putting them in the closet.
You sent me something.
Yeah, but I can give you, you can get the permissions to edit all this stuff if you want it.
Okay.
And get right on there. Anybody can. I can set up anybody with that.
Thank you.
Sorry, back to the forest. We talked earlier, like months ago, about... I don't know if it was giving an award or some recognition during town meeting. So are we on key to, yeah, to Alan.
And to Brian for his years of service.
Yeah. So are we?
We're handling that.
We're cool on that. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
No. Don't spoil the surprise.
Hopefully no one listens to
this. Cat's out of the bag now if they listen to the recording.
No.
One other thing about town forest. There was a mention last meeting about where the road would go and whether it would be maintained.
How far the plowing would go.
And how far the plowing would go and what that process was. And I think I was tasked with that. And it's the same process
for
that
Webster.
We would do for Webster Road. We'd have to go out there, the board would have to go out there in good weather, talk to the residents, see how they feel about... that's plowed, right? Three-tenths of a mile is plowed?
Turn around Mrs. Hart's old house.
Yeah. So, it's the same process, the same Title 19, Chapter 7 process.
Do we
so
need
we'll
somebody
see what
to
they come up with a recommendation or a question?
Do we need the petition, though, for Title 19?
No,
18?
No.
We
the select board can introduce that without a petition and probably should find out what everybody's intention is.
Okay, just a question on process. Just want to make sure it didn't get missed.
There's the town.
Okay, are we good with the town forest now?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Future of the Gravel Pit Committee.
We had our second meeting on January 15th. The minutes are online, thanks to our very own new page on the website. Thanks to Lars. We voted in that meeting to ask the select board for no more than $8,000 from the Gravel Pit escrow account for survey and topographic survey. I don't know if those are both the same thing. Mo received two different estimates for that work from two different engineers, and 8,000 gets us somewhere in the middle of both of those, but we didn't feel that any more than 8,000, right, Jeff, should be spent.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we have to do to officially get that money, and maybe we have like 44,000 in the gravel pit escrow.
Yeah.
So does the select board
have
to
make a motion that
the board
agree to spend it?
I'd like to make a motion that the select board approve no more than $8,000 from the escrow, gravel pit escrow account to be used for engineering topographic survey.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed? We got it.
The next meeting of the committee will be in February. Mo is on vacation until February 6th. And the focus of that meeting is going to be a speaker from the state to provide an unbiased as anyone can really be, information related to solar panel leasing projects on town-owned land. Mm. So before we invite salespeople in, we feel like we want to get just some unbiased information about the pros and cons of that.
Good.
Jeff, anything? Would you add anything else? This is a great meeting.
Okay. All right. Nothing else on the gravel pit committee? We're all good?
Yep.
Next item on the agenda is budget adjustment.
Wait, I thought we have new business.
The mailbox. I didn't write it down. That's why. Right. So, all right. Mailbox. Adam received an email today from a resident on Dowsville Road. Their mailbox was hit by the plow and broken and is no longer functional. She basically would like the road crew to fix it. We have a winter road maintenance policy that says the town is not responsible for mailboxes. I replied to her. But she stated that when she spoke with Adam, he led her to believe that the board would discuss it and make a decision. So we're here to discuss it. I want to be cautious in this because if we don't follow policy, then I think we need to look at the policy. So I would just preface the discussion around that. And it's a one-line sentence that just says the town will not be responsible for mailboxes, I believe. I think I have it, so I can read it verbatim. Not in that stack.
It's on their website.
On the website?
Yep. It's on the town
clerk. No, but I have it too. I printed it off for something else a while ago. Okay, I got it. It says, the town cannot take responsibility for damage to mailboxes. That's the sentence in the policy. It is under Section 4, General Provisions, Number 4.
I think that is pretty straightforward. And I, although I sympathize with the citizen for the impact on their mailbox, I think if we say yes to one mailbox repair, then it would cause us to rethink the entire policy.
Right. And for residents who have come before and asked, and they've been told no.
I support the policy as it stands.
Yeah.
I do too.
Okay. I don't think we need a motion necessarily on this. I said that I would bring it to the meeting to discuss it and informed her that I would follow up with her an email in the morning based on the board's discussion.
I would suggest perhaps the road foreman remind the crew to be as cautious as they can. Mm-hmm.
I think some of them are too low and some of them are too close to the edge of the road and they get hit. They try not to.
Maybe something that could be helpful is if you know that there's somebody's mailbox that is in a position that is difficult to avoid, a proactive communication to that resident to just let them know, hey, every time we come by here, it's kind of closed?
We did that a few years ago.
Okay.
It was a waste of time. The only time, with the four residents, four or five residents I tried it with, yeah, okay, is what I got.
Well, I mean,
I can try it.
I think it's just you're being proactive about communicating to let them know it's in a tricky spot. If they decide not to take action, that's up to them.
Yeah, it might be.
I can try it.
Or I'm trying to think of a way not to just message every resident. It might be better to just do an announcement online on the website or something that says, you know, people remember that, you know, the town is not responsible for damages to mailboxes. If your mailbox is in proximity to get hit by a plow, that you may want to move it. What's that?
In the town report.
In the town report?
Well, the one you're sending out for next town meeting day.
Can you just read it out of the road policy?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking, like, just something on the website would be simple enough.
That's true. It's in the... I'll say it as a reminder at the meeting.
I think it's good. I think it's reasonable to tell people whose mailboxes are in the way to tell them, consider putting it back and not have an expectation of their doing it, but having made the effort, and if they don't feel like it's necessary, we've made the effort. We're staying.
Okay.
We're staying in the picture.
Okay.
And I'll put something on the side.
Adam, how many, if you were going to do a targeted communication rather than just a general, about how many mailboxes would you say? Or is it too many to count?
Too many to count.
Okay.
I wonder if we could just write something up that they could slip in the mailbox.
You can't do that. That's against
the
law.
Stuff in people's
mailboxes. No.
But we could take it around at Halloween.
I mean, they don't actually have regulations that deal with where post office are supposed to be.
Yeah.
The height of the box.
There are. Because we had to replace ours, not because the plow hit it, because ours are set back from the road. But over time, you know, the post or whatever rotted out, and we had the lady said she would not deliver mail until it was up to code. So we had to measure it and everything to get it to where the mail carrier could deliver the mail. So
I'll put some on the website.
Okay.
Thanks, Lars. Adam, which neighbor is this?
Above you.
Kira.
Kira Reward.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks.
Okay. We good with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Budget adjustment. So, budget adjustment is on the agenda to talk about the money that we need to budget for related to the part-time persons, not just one, but two that we're using to help maintain the roads currently. So I asked Ann to put together some figures for us to help us determine what the cost would be for both Kyle and for Eric. We have estimated out about 20 weeks. May not need them for 20 weeks, but I figured better to budget and plan for 20 weeks of paying them and not get caught short. Because even though Adam said he could be back to full operation in 4 weeks, it could be 12 weeks, it could be longer than that, and other things could happen in the meantime as well. So better to be prepared budget-wise than not. So did you bring those, or do you want me to look them up in my email?
It's roughly $8,000 per person. I didn't bring the exact numbers.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
So
it's about $8,000 per person that we would have to budget for. So part of how we got here is that Adam and I both thought that the line item for Kenny was for a full year of pay, and it's not. His line item is for $6,000 total, which is what his salary would be for the weeks that he typically works in the summer. We were both under the understanding that it was his hourly rate for 12 months and that there would be money left over in that line item. That is not the case, so that's why we have to talk about the $8,000. And then I think really the discussion is, you know, is there money in another line item, or is there... So help me understand, like, how the reserve funds and the escrow funds and all those things work, because I'm not sure what the options are as far as coming up with the money to pay for their time.
Well, right now, the only reserve fund we have is a capital reserve fund, which would be voter approval, and it's meant to be for roads and equipment.
Yep.
So my experience is pretty limited too, but my understanding based on what the previous boards have done and what was discussed at these meetings is that when you're going to go over budget on a line, you try to find another line that's going to be under to make up for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, then it's done. It's an emergency situation and you still can do it, but it's meant to be done as little as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we, if we didn't have a surplus, would then have to, you know, get that back next year.
Right.
Or, and you still could if you chose to, but since we have a surplus, you can just have a smaller surplus going in. And that's just based on what I've seen and heard, and
but it still
I would definitely
to
encourage
be reported as a deficit spending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It would definitely show up as a. It would still like you. And that is to clarify something. You know, Lars, but it still shows up as part time. Or we can add another line that has no budget that is for
each of those,
whatever you want to call it, but for winter plowing or whatever you want to call that person, rather than even having it on Kenny's line item. And I can adjust the ones
that
we've already
sense.
I can adjust the ones that we've already put in.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know if anybody else has more to add to that who has been involved in town government longer than I have, but
I thought that we had to have them separate because of payroll, and that's why every employee had their own line because of the payroll and W-2s and accounting that way. And I think you'd be better served not to mix them.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Have them each have their own line.
Because Kenny is a regular summer benefit, and then if you're discussing this winter plan, that's another cantaloupe.
That's easy enough to put it. I don't have to for different people because of W-2s, because that's handled differently. I have to if someone was FICA and somebody wasn't FICA, then I do have to separate them. But it's easy to separate them. You'll just, you know, you'll show up as a deficit already instead of at the end of the $6,000.
Because Kenny's budgeted and this is not.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so do you want to know the totals?
Sure.
86.12 for one, and then 81.52. No, 86.12 and 81.52. So together it's $16,764. That was according to Ann's last email. So it does include the FICA.
Okay. And have you found any line items that we're going to underspend, Ann?
I brought a copy of ones that currently show a large amount, but only Adam and you guys know. I mean, right now the gravel and the ditching stone are way under, but I assume that's between now and June 30th you'll be getting all that.
The gravel, yes. The ditching stone we can get away until July.
Okay.
But the gravel,
I
would not recommend touching that.
So the ditching stone you have $8,400 in. Gravel trucking, that's part of still coming up,
We already spent that on sand. You notice sand is up because we bought an extra $1,000 for extra thousand yards of sand.
That was meant to compensate for that. Okay.
That was meant to compensate for that. That's why we didn't use it.
Okay. And then there's that lovely fuel, which is always kind of good.
The little cushion.
We won't have next year because we finally cut that way back. Mm-hmm. But you've got $28,000 left in that budget, and halfway through, you've spent $15,000.
And we're only halfway through.
Well, I'm trying to understand, and I don't know whether it's permissible to discuss, but if 67% of an existing salary is being paid by workers' comp.
He's working his 8 hours. Isn't that right? So workers' comp, how does that work?
Yeah, here's that. Workman's comp, basically what they do is they asked for, I think it's 6 months of his pay history before the accident.
Yeah.
And they figure out his average weekly income over those 6 months.
Right.
Then they ask me each week, how much did we pay him?
Right.
So when he works, we pay him his salary here, and if he works. And then they pay 2/3 of the difference.
And what does that amount to?
It's not amounting to a lot because, unfortunately, the 6 months before his accident, there was summer. Not his overtime. Right. So it doesn't really accurately reflect what he would have been earning this time of year.
Yeah. I thought they were going to look at that and make an adjustment, but they didn't.
They look at the previous 6 months. Okay. They don't consider what he would have done last winter.
And I specifically asked them. I sent the information, and it's too bad that rejected.
I'm only leaving for hour and a half at a time.
Yeah.
Right.
And I come back.
Yeah. So he's not missing enough work to make it
substantial
enough. So we've got to come up with, if we use the ditching, that's only half of what we need.
Can I ask a clarifying question in terms of Eric's, because in the email's a little confused, is he guaranteed a certain number of weeks or a certain number of hours, or is he just guaranteed the $20 an hour?
He's guaranteed for the
I believe
the week, the weekly wage, right? The weekly, the 20
the
hours.
The $20.
He's guaranteed 20 hours a week.
Yes.
At $20 an hour.
Correct.
But we did not guarantee a certain number of weeks or months.
No.
So can I just ask why the guarantee of the 20 hours based on the emergency qualification of this?
Well, because of it being winter, with weekends, storms. So, for example, this storm right now, you could have, conceivably, he could be working 14 hours between now and Wednesday. So that would be his 20 hours a week. So you could have a snow event every week. We wanted to make sure that we had at least planned for enough time in the week where he would come in the morning and work 4 in the morning until 10 o'clock in the morning, and then he would go. He'd be here just long enough to make sure the bus routes are plowed and sanded, and then that would be it. We can't predict the weather. That's the problem.
And I'll say that, for me, the weekend before we made this decision, we had one crew member who had already done 12 hours of overtime, and
in
it was a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So when we look at overtime being spent, just trying to account for that.
For the days that it wasn't storming, there's still work that can be done that he can assist with. So I'm going to just use today as an example. So we've got an event going on. It's been sleeting, freezing rain, right? We're actually down to one man today because Brian went home sick. So that means Randy and Randy only had to pre-sand the roads before the storm, because Kyle has another job, so we couldn't call him in. If Eric had been available, Eric could have been out with Randy taking care of the roads. And even if Brian were here, that would have given us a third man to pre-sand the roads in advance of the storm. It all comes down to the fact that we want to make sure that we're doing the best we can to ensure public safety in the town of Duxbury. I get that we have to be fiscally responsible. I'm more concerned now about people's safety. And the fact that I've got a road foreman who can't do what he wants to do or should be able to do because of his injury. And I've got one road crew member right now. And if I run him ragged, he could wreck because he's exhausted. He could get sick. And then what happens? It's hard to manage this town, I think, as a board, with all of those contingencies floating around. And 20 hours, we felt like it kept us under enough so we didn't have to worry about all those benefits. Eric felt that it was something he could commit to and not interfere with his regular work, and it would ensure the safety of our residents.
And the road foreman agreed with that decision.
And lastly, when you have a very limited labor pool, you want to make your offer attractive, and that's an attractive offer. And we need the help.
But even regardless of the labor pool, we got two responses to our ad. None of them had any winter maintenance experience. So there wasn't an opportunity to bring somebody in brand new at a lower rate of pay and have them get in a truck and start plowing and sanding on day one.
Yeah, I was talking about the rate of pay. I was talking about it. I understand all those reasons for the needing of someone, but in terms of the minimum of 20 hours, Lars has spoke to that, to entice him to do it. I assume he didn't want to do it for on-call basis like Kyle was willing to do.
No. I can't answer that. What you want to do is not have to hunt anymore. You want to make it as attractive as you can with the qualified people you you can find, and have your labor pool ready for the emergencies.
How is it going to work if they're here during the day doing other stuff, and then you have a 16-hour weekend, and are you paying them more than the 20 because they've been there during the week?
So I think these are all really great questions. I wish I had all the answers and I had a magic crystal ball that could predict the future and what the weather's going to do and what the equipment's going to do and what every road crew member is going to do. But the gist of the answer, Maureen, is this. I'm going to rely on my road foreman to make that call. So I'm going to expect that as part of his job, he's going to be monitoring the weather forecast. So he knew this weekend that this storm was coming tonight. He was prepared. What he couldn't prepare for was the event of Brian being sick. Okay? So again, none of this is going to be set in stone. I'm not going to say Eric's going to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and put his 20 hours in and then that's it. Eric has been given 20 hours a week, and it'll be up to Adam to decide, based on whatever's going on around the road crew at the time, when he is going to work and when he isn't. So I would expect that, let's say Eric starts working next week on Monday, and Adam is looking ahead, right? And he knows what he has to get done, okay? So he might say to Eric, I'm not going to need you Monday, I'm not going to need you Tuesday. I am going to need you Wednesday because we've got a storm coming Thursday, and I'm going to need you to come in and pre-sand the roads and check the equipment, make sure the tandem's ready to go, make sure there isn't anything malfunctioning, right? Then he'll come in Wednesday, and it could be that he puts in his 20 hours before Friday. And if he does, then depending on what's going on, he'll leave. If he has to work overtime, then we'll have to deal with that. My number one priority is ensuring that our roads stay open, that our school buses can do their routes, and that our residents can travel safely from work to home and back again safely, period. That's it. Otherwise, I don't care who we hire, for what rate of pay we pay them, for how many hours a week we ask them to work. That is my priority. That's what was the basis of the decisions that we made, and we had the road foreman sitting alongside us making the decisions with us.
So in terms of the budget, there is a good chance that it would be more than that estimate. Because
possibly.
Because the 20 is the minimum.
And that's why I said to factor both of them in, because we're not going to have Kyle and Eric those same 20 hours, unless Brian has the flu epidemic and is going to be out for the rest of the week, and then we need the extra guy. Unfortunately, again, nothing I can predict, but the plan wasn't to have both Eric and Kyle working every day. The plan was Kyle is there for emergencies, mm-hmm. period. But if you factor him in at the 16,700, then I think you cover overtime. You know, Kyle has been very gracious to us, but he has a full-time job, which is why we can't depend on him like we can hiring somebody like Eric, who is not held to another employer.
Now, do we have the flexibility if Eric works a lot of hours in 1 week due to the weather, which we can't predict, and the following week happens to have favorable weather, that he worked less than 20 hours in that week?
Again, I would defer to the road foreman to make those decisions.
Yep.
I am trying very hard not to micromanage the situation, but at the same time, in order for anybody to want to come and work here, they have to know that they're going to have some hours. You know, I'm not going to come in and work for 1 hour and then go home when I could be making $50 an hour doing something else.
But the question you just asked was what I was asking. You said you don't know.
So I don't know.
Can he work 40 hours 1 week and none the next week, or is it a minimum of 20
hours? I don't know the answer to that, and I'm not going to answer it.
That's what I asked based on what was offered to him.
That was my understanding, is that that's what we offered to him, is a minimum of 20 hours.
If he works 40 hours, in my opinion, if he wants to work 40, if he has to work 40 hours 1 week, and then the next week he says, hey, I got my own things to do, and it's nice out, do you need me or not? I mean, I do it with Kenny. I've done it with Kenny the past 4 summers he's worked here. As long as the board and it works out with the budget and
but
everybody's okay
it's
with
a matter
it.
Of what he was. Eric is
Eric's expectations, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tamitha, because you and I and Adam were the ones in the interview said
it's really not that important to him how many hours he works. He will come in and work when Adam calls him, and he will leave when he's done. He doesn't care if it's 4 hours. He doesn't care if it's 10 hours. We put down 20 hours a week because we felt that that was legitimate based on the factors that we were dealing with. I don't know what else to say. I honestly don't. I'm trying to just establish what do we have to do to pay at 20 hours a week if we use that much. If we don't, we don't. But that was the promise that was made to him in the interview.
I'm just trying to establish clearly, is it what you just said this time, which is that it's 4 hours some, or
you know
is
what,
it 20
Anne,
hours
it doesn't time? Really matter what I say this time or the last time. Let me finish, please, because frankly, the board made its decision. We guaranteed him 20 hours a week at $20 an hour. I want to focus on the budget, not about the decision that was made 3 weeks ago. That decision's been made. It's done. Now let's talk about the budget.
I understand that the question actually does come back to the budget. Because it is, if it's 20 hours a week and that's it, you're done, then that's one thing. If it's 20 hours 1 week, 40, 30, 20, you know, then that, it's just different in the way that the budget would need to be projected.
Then somebody make a motion so that we can move forward with this. Otherwise, we're going to be here spinning on this until 10 o'clock tonight.
Well, I also wasn't here for the interview and all of that, so it's... I'm glad that the questions are coming up because it's providing me clarity as well. And if he was guaranteed 20 hours a week, then you know I think it's up to Adam to work with him to figure out if we ever need him for more than that. It seems like if we have Kyle as a backup, then hopefully we could get Eric to 20, not have him work more than 20, and maybe have Kyle step in, but that would be Adam's call to make that decision.
It's very hard with Kyle.
It's going to be up to Kyle's availability.
So maybe Kyle won't be at the amount that we were kind of recommending.
He's taking tomorrow off from his job to come work here. And well, he took tonight off for some fire. They had a fire thing. He stayed home tonight. He's working here tomorrow and possibly Wednesday morning to make sure we get everything taken care of, school buses and all that. So, but it's hard with him because he has a full-time job. He's in New York. He's in Maine. He's in Canada. He's in he's in Massachusetts. So he's kind of all over. So it's hard, you know, it worked out okay.
Do we go into deficit and pay for this or what? What do you think? How does this work?
What's more important, the $16,000 and going into deficit or public safety on our roads?
Oh, public safety is the thing.
I think everybody agrees that public safety is on the roads, but if we have some places that we can identify that will make up some of this money ahead,
we have very few.
And I am asking, as treasurer, aside from as budget, is I'm trying to understand what Eric's contract is, so I know when it comes time for payroll and send a pay data if he was guaranteed 20 hours. That's, in the end, I'm just still trying to get a clear answer of what his contract is.
Like Dan Sweet is X, whether he works an hour or 1,000, you know.
So does
he have an X?
We didn't do a contract.
So I did ask if we needed to do a contract because... And
didn't feel we did.
We never did with Kenny.
And so that's the response. That's the response I got, that we didn't do a contract with Kenny. And so I felt like, well, I guess I think we all felt, well, if we didn't do one with Kenny, why would we do one for Eric? But it sounds like that might not be the best way.
If that's how it is, but if there was one, I need to know because I wouldn't
want. There's not a contract.
There's no contract.
It was all built off of the way Kenny was being handled, and the assumption at the time was that the money was under Kenny's line item, which we have since learned is not true. So there is no contract.
And Adam, you feel comfortable with what you, how?
Well, like
what
I said,
you can
maybe,
put in
maybe
for his time.
My assumption is that he has to work to get paid. And it's not like he's going to get paid for 20 hours to sit home.
No, oh, exactly.
Okay. So if it's like Kenny, you know, and if it's not, then stop me. But if I'm assuming it's like Kenny, where if Kenny works 30 hours and says, hey, I can't work tomorrow, you know, I really don't feel like working tomorrow, then he gets paid for 30 hours. If he comes to me and says, hey, I can't work this week, then he doesn't get paid. If Eric is all right with doing that, then it'll be like Kenny. But if we have, you know, if he wants to be here for 20 hours, we have plenty to do. And
so you've talked to Eric directly. I did not get the impression from the interview that we had that he cared about a guaranteed 20 hours a week. What is your take?
You didn't get that either.
Well, no, you guys discussed all this with him, and I discussed separately previously. I would just say that I'm along with you. This is about public safety, and whatever he works, Adam can manage it. Mm-hmm. And if Ann needs predictability for the payroll...
I don't need predictability if it's 40 and it's 4. I'm just trying to get back to whether or not he was guaranteed. And what Jerry asked, which is, you know, can it be 40 and then 4 based on the emergency nature of the hiring?
It sounds like a complex all over the place.
How about I ask him on Wednesday?
Yeah, okay. That's great. Because average 20 hours a week is different than guaranteed minimum 20 hours a week in terms of planning.
I'll ask him on Wednesday and I'll email you.
Sounds good.
Can you copy the board?
Yes.
Just so we know what everybody agreed to, since it's really not our decision. Okay, so do we have anything we have to vote on for this? Clearly, we still haven't really determined where the money's coming from, which I thought was the whole point of this discussion. So where do we go from here? Suggestions? Because I don't know.
I'm happy to go through my budget tomorrow morning and tell you what I can get away with, what we cannot spend. You know, I can go through line if that's what you'd like me to do, and email the board my recommendation, but
that's
your call.
It's fine with me. I don't know what procedurally what the next step is here. So that's basically, I'm asking our treasurer and our town clerk, who seem to know this better than anybody right now, because you guys deal with this all the time. What are our next steps? Because I don't know what to do.
You just have to watch it every 2 weeks if you're spending a hell of a lot more and just tighten up every which way. I mean, it's always fluid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing we need to do as far as making a vote to draw money down anywhere else a loan.
You're
or
in a budget year. I don't think any of the escrows and they're like mapping and gravel pit. None of them qualify to offset this capital reserve. You're not going to a town vote. You may or may not be deficit spending, and when you do it, you're looking at the whole budget. So if Ann and I don't spend all of our budget, but you got to keep an eye on the ball and see you're up here, down there, and it's going to change every week, 2 weeks. And put the brakes on Eric if you need to. If you don't, I mean, it's going to change. He may be back in 2 weeks. It may be done. Who knows?
Okay.
It may be spring.
You know, who knows?
I don't think there's a resolution or a motion necessary. I just thought it was very important that it be discussed, that Adam point out some things that are below, just by bringing it up, clarifying that the $6,000 that you thought was for a full year was just for that. I thought that it was important that the discussion was had about what it was going to cost and where we're at.
Okay. Any other discussion on the matter?
I'm clear.
All right. We talked about the next two items. Ryan Road update. I've written the letter. It's in the folder to be signed by the board. Once it's signed, we just need to get it in the mail to the residents on Ryan Road that basically asks, or not to the residents, sorry. The letter goes to Griffin and Griffin, asking them to take steps to not damage the road or cause headaches for the residents. I don't have the letter in front of me, so I can't read it, but...
I did a little bit of research with Will at the DRB, and then also just going through some DRB meeting minutes. Will doesn't have any recollection that there was any sort of formal or informal agreement that Griffin Griffin would maintain the road, but he also said that that could have happened before he was involved with the DRB, which
that
was
select board and posting.
It's for mud season.
Yeah, it was post
town traditionally doesn't post
just mud season.
Ryan.
Okay.
And
yeah.
So the deal is, because of the fact Griffin and Griffin wants to be able to get in and out with their trucks and everything, so we don't post it with the understanding of they need to fix it if it starts falling apart. Now last year they didn't fix it and we had to go out and fix it. So that's a discussion in March, April for the next board to have, because every year I ask, are we leaving it the way it was, or are we posting it?
So I need to review that letter again, because I think I may have put something in it that isn't accurate based on that.
Excuse me, there is a DRB thing, but that goes with the sawmill.
Right. The DRB things that I found were not related to anything with road maintenance. It was road usage, but not that they would do anything to take care of the road, at least not that was in the minutes. So if there's some kind of agreement through in select board minutes
So I think this is fine. Now that I look at it again, I thought I put something in there about a prior agreement, but I didn't.
They've usually been very good with us. We've worked with them on that road before.
Isn't this the first year it's been a problem?
It's because the deliveries are coming on tractor trailers now instead of dump trucks.
Okay. All right. That was it for old business. So now I think we're ready to move into executive session to discuss another legal matter and personnel matter. So we have a motion.
Are you done signing, or will you drop that in the office when you are?
We just need, Lars, you need to sign this one.
Maureen, who should I put that in an envelope and stick it in
there? I can do it if I have it. I just don't want to spend the next 3 days trying to
find
it.
No, I don't blame you. Thank you. Thank you, Ian.
And we have our files much, much better. Not done yet, but as you're doing things for like Dallasville and all that, would you put
yes.
Because some of the files...
Adam should be.
Non-existent.
You should have everything we've gotten recently from those.
Well, I got nothing, but
I can give my.
Now he's got a place
here,
to put it.
To sign
so
this one.
Yeah, just.
So I need. I guess we need.
Yeah, we need a motion to go into executive session.
I move that we go into executive session to discuss a legal and personnel matter at 7:48 p.m.
Second.
All those in favor of going into executive session, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. You can turn off your recorder, Tamitha. So we are coming out of executive session at 8:27 p.m. As far as the legal matter that was discussed... the board agreed, based on advice from the town attorney, that we could go and get estimates of the work costs and work needed to repair the failing culvert on Scrabble Hill off of the DeForge property. So Adam will be following up to get estimates of the work needed to be done there. And then we will discuss next steps once we have that information.
It's a head wall, not the culvert.
Or the head wall, thank you. I wasn't sure what to call it.
Yeah, sorry.
Second item on the agenda related to a personnel matter, the board has agreed that Stacy and Lars will meet with Brian at 7 o'clock Wednesday morning here in the town meeting room.
Conditionally, right? Okay.
All right.
I move that this meeting adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second that.
All those in favor of adjourning at 8:28 p.m., please say aye.
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 Opposed? Meeting is adjourned.
I assume no one's waiting out there.
Well, you can't.
Oh, then we're about to ask.
Well, we can recap.